Please welcome David Scott.
Thank you all. I'm frozen suddenly. I couldn't decide on what story to tell you. There was two that I had, but I figured this one would be the best. I don't know, marijuana is something we can talk about nowadays because it's legal. And when I was indulging in that wonderful ecstasy, it was not legal. And it was at a period in my life where I was in the Navy and I was stationed down in Cuba. And I was stationed at Guantanamo, which was an air base, and the bay was there. And we used to go on Liberty into this little town called Caymanera. And we'd get on the Liberty boat with our fresh white uniforms on, you know, salute, and they'd check you over, make sure your shoes were polished and your hair was cut properly. And we'd ride the boat over to Caymanera, all polished and clean. And we'd get off the boat at this wharf in this little town. And then we'd run down the street, a whole, well, 20 or, well, it was about 30 of us who would fit on the boat. And then we'd all en masse go down the town, heading for the brothels, which were located on a specific street, which was what you'd call the red light district. And the brothels were unique. They were affairs that were totally open. The front of the brothel was open. You know, it doesn't get cold in Cuba. Down there, we're down near the equator. And so the bars would be totally open. The girls would be there. And there was a bar, and you'd get rum and coke for 50 cents. And the girls would be there, and the sailors would come down the street, and they'd be reaching for you, grabbing at you. And so it was all new experience for me. I mean, I was 17 years old. I was from Inglewood, California. You know, I'd never seen anything like that. Never. Still haven't seen anything like that. And so we would take care to, you know, pick out one of the girls that maybe appealed to us if we could. A lot of times we didn't have a chance. They would just grab you and drag you in. And they may not be to your liking, but you know, you were kind of stuck. So I had spent the evening with one young woman who was perhaps a favorite of mine. I used to go visit her quite often, and I was smoking a lot of pot in her room. And I got paranoid. And that's how pot affects me. It makes me really paranoid. And this was the first time that I got really paranoid. I started to imagine, I was in the room with her, and I started to imagine the shore patrol coming, you know, and, you know, we're in there, you know, we know you're in there smoking pot, and we come to arrest you. They would never come and arrest us. I mean, it was stupid. It was all this paranoid fantasy going on in my head. And but it was time for me to leave anyway and get back to the boat because Liberty was over like at 9:30. So we had to all be back at the dock where the boat was to leave. And it was always quite of a tumultuous scene at the dock, because these guys would be showing up, you know, when they got off and went in there, they were all crisp white uniform, shoes polished. Now there was mud on their uniform, their hats were missing, the scarves were gone, everything was, you know, totally trashed. And all that in 3 hours.
And
so I'm walking back to the boat down the streets, and I'd been there for 2 or 3 hours smoking all this grass, and I got really paranoid, and I started imagining that the shore patrol was following me, that they knew I was stoned, and they wanted to arrest me. And I kept looking behind me, and there was just sailors, and they were coming, but I thought, well, they're changing off. One sailor would follow me for a while, and then they'd change, and another sailor would follow me for a while, you know, because they didn't want me to get the idea that I was being followed. So I got, I mean, that's how paranoid I was. And I thought, I gotta get off this street, you know. So I turned down this kind of narrow, you know, in between some buildings, and headed for a part of town that there was no sailors or anything. And there were just homes. Well, you call them homes, they were more like chicken coops, you know, kind of just old boards nailed together, and sheds, you know, where you keep animals in or something. I mean, these people were poor. They were really poor. This was during Batista's reign in Cuba, and the people were really getting a raw deal. So I got on this street. Now, remember, I'm really stoned, and everything is kind of unfamiliar to me. And I get to this dirt street, and I start to walk up it, and there's domiciles on each side. I mean, they're not homes like you and I think of homes. They were more like sheds that you would keep animals in. And I start to walk up the street. Now, the street is just dirt and with kind of a ditch running along each side, which was the sewer. And I'm walking up this street, and I'm really stoned, and everything is kind of unfreaky and nothing familiar. There's no other sailors there or anything. And it was dark, and I'm walking, and I'm really high. And all of a sudden, there's this man standing there in front of one of the houses, and a Cuban gentleman. And he motions to me to come over. So I go over, and, you know, and I'm looking at him, and he motions me to go into the house, and or the shed. And he pulls the curtain back, because there was no door. It was just a curtain. And, you know, motions me to go inside. So, you know, I thought, okay, I'll go inside and see what he wants, what's going on. And I get in there, and he stands there for a little while, and then he calls out to his wife. And she comes out from one of the other rooms, and he talks to her, and she kind of looks me up and down and everything, and I don't know what's going on. Now, then they brought out their daughter, a little girl, must have been no more than 10 years old, and they were offering her to me. And then I realized I was in a crib. Now, when you get to a duty station that's in a foreign country, the military offers you a lecture on what to watch out for, you know, what to eat, what, you know, when, because you're in a strange country, and they sort of tell you what's going on there, what the protocol is. And they told us about cribs. Now, a crib is a this was a crib. And finally, it reached my brain that I was in a crib. They told us to stay out of the cribs because you could get infected there, you know, because there In the regular brothels, the girls were inspected every week, and they had a certificate that they put up on the wall, signed by the local doctor, that these girls were clean. And they always told us, like, when you're in there, make sure you check the date on the certificate. So in a crib, there was no certificate. And they said, that's the easiest place to catch a venereal disease. So stay out of those. Well, I just happened to be in one. And I didn't realize it until it brought out this little girl. And they were offering her to me. You know, they said, you know. And I looked, and the husband, the father of this child, had such a pained look on his face, but he was not showing, really not showing it. And his wife, the mother of this little girl, was like, you know, is this all right? You know, what am I doing here? And this is terrible. You know, of course, I could just see the suffering in her face. And, but they wanted me to take her. And, you know, I was a good Catholic boy. I mean, I grew up, I went to church. I served mass. I lived in Inglewood, California, a beautiful place. I had a beautiful mother. I had a father that taught me to respect women. I mean, all of this was, like, horrific. And then I thought, this is really bad, because if they're offering her to me, it means that some sailors, there are some guys who would actually go through with it and pay, you know. And it was like $2. $2. And I, that's how poor these people were. That's what kind of suffering that was going on. And I was pretty shocked. But I reached in my pocket, and we were only getting $70 a month pay in the Navy at the time, and I pulled out what money I had. I think there was like $5 or $6, and I gave it to them, and I left quickly. But that really stuck with me. I mean, I can tell you about it today, and that was more than 50 years ago. So, and I can still see the whole thing, the little girl, you know, just standing there, the mother, like, and the father, stoic. And suffering, I mean, my God, how they must have felt. Anyway, that's the story.